Joining us this morning, Saul Thompson. He is, of course, the CEO, the Chief Executive Officer at the Chevra Kadesha. Saul, good morning to you. How are you?
Good morning, Howard. Nice to speak to you. I'm good, thank you.
All right.
And you don't sound a day older to me.
Well, thank you very, very much for saying it. But here's my question for you. Very seriously, who is your James Bond of choice?
Now you're putting me on the spot. I thought I was prepared. It's got to be Sean Connery, surely.
Right. Okay. No, it's just interesting because on this day, back whenever it was, Timothy Dalton was appointed James Bond, and now we're getting into this raging argument about who the James Bond is of choice. All right. So you're going with Sean Connery. You can't go wrong with that. It's certainly not a bad choice.
He does his best.
He does.
And Lucius always whine about their best.
Exactly right. As does the Chevra Kadesha, right? Tell us about the vaccine drive. How's it going?
Great. Thank God. It feels wonderful. As a community that we have some piece of control now within the community. You know, we've got two community sites between us and Atsola running. And for a long time, this has been largely out of our hands, and we've had to sit back and experience the frustration. And I think we certainly feel, and I think the community is starting to feel, that it's finally in our hands.
In terms of your own residents, they are fully vaccinated. Is that right? That was your first.
When we last spoke.
I think you had started this campaign to vaccinate the residents at your facilities.
Yeah, last time we spoke, we had just finished all the residents, and I remember you asking me when are we going to open a vaccine site for the community.
Mm-hmm, exactly.
And at the time, yeah, it felt kind of challenging. The residents, thank God, you know, fully vaccinated, and so are our staff and have been for some time. But there was this desperate need to get the community vaccinated as quick as possible. And we were working since the residents got vaccinated until now to try and get this site up and running. And thank God we have a community vaccination site, and it's an amazing thing. Our goal is very simple. It's just to get every Jew, everybody who lives in these areas, everyone who's in contact with the community, the broader community, other NGOs, wherever we can make a difference, just as quick as possible and as painless as possible.
What changes for your residents? Because it's quite interesting, you know, we watch with such focus what goes on around the world. People are vaccinated, masks comes off, everybody's relaxed, then they go back into some form of measure. How are you managing that, given the fact that a large amount of your residents are extremely vulnerable?
So we started researching this early on as the residents got their first vaccines. And I think there's a fundamental difference between what's happening in South Africa and what happened around the rest of the world. And that is the rate of vaccination in the broader community. So what we saw certainly in the US and the UK is that the residential facilities, once fully vaccinated, it wasn't long until the surrounding community was also fully vaccinated. And so they could transition much easier into an open movement environment because the world around them was safe. What we found is that our residents were fully vaccinated, but virtually nobody in the community was. And it was part of our motivation for setting up our community vaccine site, because aside from the impact on the community, of course it impacts our residents. The more people vaccinated, the safer it is for them to be out and about. So right now, the changes are slow and calculated. We've opened up for family visitations more. Certainly those family members that are fully vaccinated are getting easier access, and that's something that we now need to grapple with, because we still obviously know how rapidly this can spread in the homes. And we're trying to take the residents out a bit. We started in the last week bus tours.
What a great
who would have
idea.
Thought?
Yeah.
They're driving around Joburg seeing different sites, and we've got to get back. We can't go for too long. The residents are now out and about on bus tours of Joburg.
Is that between meals?
it's between meals, and we've got to, the buses don't have toilets, so we've got to get back within a certain amount of time. We don't want them stopping off at public toilets.
Right. Yeah. You know, you don't think of these things that these are the items to consider, that you can't have people out and about, but it is good just to see that there's a world out there, because otherwise I think we all in our own way are feeling that. And can you imagine if you have been on one site in one environment for more than a year? It does become very, very, claustrophobic. I'm not sure is the word, but narrow.
Yeah, I think so. I think, you know, we take it for granted in some senses because it's been challenging for us as individuals, and with schools closed, and we have periods of time where we're isolated, but our residents haven't left the facility since last March. The results have been staggering, thank God, and we had virtually no hospitalizations and deaths in this third wave from our residents. It's quite staggering given how bad the wave was for the Jewish community. The most vulnerable and the most frail were almost completely spared. And that's as a result of the discipline and the structure. But at the same time, we recognize that the residents need to get out and they need to see the world. And over the coming weeks, hopefully we'll have more initiatives where the community can participate, where we can get the residents out in a safe way. And we're starting to look at these kind of small opportunities to give them a semblance of normality.
Brilliant. Talking about the deaths in the community, July, I believe, was a very, very heavy month. Certainly, I announce the deaths every day on my show, and the numbers have been staggering. But that's anecdotal, just because I'm seeing them on a day-to-day basis. What do the numbers actually look like?
Well, before I share that, I'll just say that I saw the funeral dispatch that we get in the mornings, and it said no funerals today.
I know. It was one of the first days that I've announced no funerals. Incredible.
I know. So what a something very special for us. July was really insane. Unfortunately, we had our largest month on record since the monthly record keeping, which is January 1994. It was larger than last July. We know this past June was also extremely busy, so there were 113 deaths in this July. It's hard to even put it into words, the amount of pain and trauma that we're seeing in and around the community. And, you know, looking at this community, unfortunately, we've had a very, very high excess death rate. It's just something that we find difficult to grapple with. But I have to say, I know there's been amazing tributes to the cemetery team, and I know King David Lingsfield, the Grade 11s, did a wonderful initiative this week, and they've really been thoughtful, and somebody went and bought the cemetery staff warm jackets for the winter spell.
Oh,
but the team at the cemetery have been absolutely remarkable. The way they deal with the community, they work through the night, they always with kindness and compassion, and still managing to conduct every single funeral virtually within the day, which is almost unheard of around the world. You know, so I take my hat off to them and salute that incredible part of the Chev.
So I just want to go back to this. You're saying that since record keeping began, July was our highest number of deaths, even given the fact that our community is at its smallest.
Yeah. January 1994 was when the monthly record keeping started, and from then till now, last July was the record, and this July just surpassed it.
So last July, what were those numbers?
I can't remember offhand, but it was also just over 100.
Yeah, I remember as well.
In a usual July is unfortunately slightly busier in the winter months, I would say this is, you know, close to double what we experience in July.
Terrible. Absolutely crazy. We've only got a minute left. Just tell us very quickly, what is the economic situation of our community looking like?
Howard, I think that's the long tail of this situation that we're in. The Chev still seeing a lot of families coming forward for help. And we're here for every single Jewish family in need. If there's someone out there who's struggling financially, please, they must reach out to us, contact us. We're there to receive them with kindness and compassion. And to assist wherever we can, and to, just really try and relieve the pressure that people are feeling.